Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You know, a lot of the times this past week and a half, we've been talking about, and then especially when the Kings have started to play well, we try to it's our job to kind of break down why certain things were happening. But I think myself and Damian, we do a really good job of saying it doesn't mean Mike is a bad coach or not a bad basketball mind. It just might not have been the best time and the best situation for him and this team to be together. And when Doug is there doing what he's doing, he just may be, he's a good coach, first of all, but he also may be the right coach at the right time for the right group of guys. It doesn't have to mean somebody's terrible or nothing like it doesn't have to be that. It's just for where they're at right now and what they're trying to achieve and what they need, Doug may be perfect for that.
Well, and I think it's important that just because I don't think we have to put them together. I don't like actually honestly seeing it. I don't like seeing the comparisons and the contrasts every time something comes up. Oh, well, this happened before. This is happening now. This is what he's doing. This is what, just because one person's doing one thing now doesn't mean that that wasn't happening before. Mm. And, you know, just because the players are playing great now doesn't mean that they wouldn't have at some point found their groove or, you know, that spark that they needed under Mike too. So I just want to say that. And, you know, I know I come from a different perspective, not only being on the sideline, but I've also had the privilege to get to know Mike, his family, his lady, Rochelle, and pretty close with them, travel with them. So I do come from a different perspective in that sense. But honestly, I just have great respect for him. And I think that it's important that we understand that regardless of whatever happened, we need to thank him. We need to appreciate him. We need to love him and respect him because he did so much for this city, for this community, for this team. Mm-hmm. And we would not be where we are today if it had not been for him. Mm. And God, too, of course. But, I mean, not make it sound like, you know. But
and Mike, we trust.
Right. You know, and so I just think that's important. And I feel like so many people, first of all, I feel like we all need a therapy session after what we've been going through.
Facts.
These ups and downs, man. I feel like, you know, sometimes I had some tears, sometimes I was in, happiness. Like it's just been a lot of ups and downs, emotional ups and downs. But I feel like we can move forward and be happy for our team and support our team, you know, as I've been doing. You know, we could do that. We don't have to tear down Mike and talk about what he didn't do as we do that. That's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that he's gotten a lot of outpouring of respect and love from the NBA community, from GMs, from coaches, from other players, from our players. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's important to just realize, you know, that our players love him too. You know what I mean? It's not like that. So anyway, I know that he's beloved not only in our community, you know, watching him even at local, like football, he went to all like football games and high school football games and basketball games and stuff like that. And just seeing the little kids come up to him and he's signing their t-shirts with a ballpoint pen, cause that's all they have, you know, and, you know, me being out with him and even in the rest of the US, you know, whether we were in Vegas or Miami and, or New York, with me and Rochelle and him, doing different stuff on the road or whatever, you know, everybody comes up to him all the time. He just has so much love and respect and support, you know, for who he is. And he is a great human being. He is a person of great character. And I'm certainly going to miss having that great of a person in our community, and in our, and in our organization.
Word up.
So I just want to say that, because that's family, you know, that's people right there.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we give him his flowers and respect. And I know he'll be okay. I know there's going to be plenty of other teams trying to track him down, you know, and pick him up as we move forward in the off season, and it's our loss. But also I have the respect for our team and our organization as well. You know, we don't know why they made the decisions that they made. I don't know if we'll ever know, but they felt they needed to make that decision. We respect it, and we move forward.
Yeah, normally someone would tell us, but no one told us.
A whole nother situation.
So we've just been trying to figure it out on our own. But I think what has cushioned the blow for those of us, including me, who thought firing Mike Brown was very much the wrong decision, is one, you're hiring someone that the city universally respects, like Doug Christie, and he has rewarded that instantly with the way that this team has played. And I think Doug said something. I think it was after the Miami Heat game, is the lessons aren't in the victories. The lessons are in the experiences.
Yes.
That's where you build from. Like, yes, it's great that we're winning. That's not what we build off. Yep. We build off of what we learned during this game and the experiences to help us moving forward when we go on the road versus Boston, Chicago, and when we're playing basketball, you know, a month from now.
Yeah.
And he said that. He was like, whether we had won or lost these games, that I was more paying attention to what we are learning from it. How do we get through these negative? We have something negative happen or something, you know, where we have to overcome it. And how are we pushing through and doing that? And honestly, I've been watching them do it with gusto myself on the side. So I've been loving every single moment of it. I just want you to know.
You should, because you sat through all five of those home games. Man.
Look, and the one in San Francisco.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
All courtside, all right, man. There, man. It was awesome. Ooh, those San Francisco fans were a little high.
Well, I meant the loss. I meant the five losses.
Weren't you in L.A. too? Didn't you go to L.A.?
No. I actually was gone. So I feel bad. That was like the only game I missed was that Detroit game. And then I couldn't go to the L.A. game.
Well, now we know who to blame.
There we go. Thanks
now we know who to blame.
Thanks
Doug would be 6-0 if you had just gotten on an airplane. Man.
But no, right. I couldn't get to L.A. But yeah, all the rest of the five games, whew.
How was that Warriors game, sitting there and just, like you said, they were upset because Kings came in there, smacked them boys up. I saw her after Malik got his dunk. She was up there, heads up, heads up.
I'm like, yes. I'm always like, let's go. Might have some effort in there a little bit.
Well, no. But,
you know,
she wouldn't buy the refs that day, so she could say it. She wouldn't buy
No, I don't say bad stuff to her.
I don't say
bad stuff at all. Actually.
There's so many reasons everyone loves Linnea. One, because she is like every Kings fan on television. Like you can see your reaction through her on TV. But also, she comes in here to, there might be a few S words, BS words, but she made sure to thank God a minute ago.
Right.
She made sure, Mike is great. Oh, of course, God too, but you know.
Oh, no, that's my personality. You know, I think as I get older, too, it's like, listen, I'm going to keep being me, y'all.
That's it.
I'm kind of scared of, like, you know, 60-year-old Lanea, 50-year-old Lanea, 70-year-old Lanea. She's going to be off the chain.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be even better at that
point. This Lanea is already cracking, and she, you know, but what she gives even more confidence, it's like, I'm like, oh, watch out.
So I was talking to you on the phone a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. and you had no idea that, like, you were popping on Twitter after that heat game. We was like, yo, everybody's like, yo, who's that? That's our girl right there, man. We love it. And you were like, I don't know anything about this. Like, what are you talking about? So you don't see any of the love, huh?
I don't have Twitter. So I mean,
good for you.
Or I do, but I don't know how to use it, or something's up with my Twitter.
Keep it that way.
I can't even get on there.
You don't need to.
One of my girlfriends. I don't need to go on there. Why does everybody keep telling me that? Everybody keeps telling me that. Even my girlfriend that sent it to me, she was like, don't get on there.
Don't look on there.
Like, you don't need to be on there.
It's an alternate universe.
Oh, no.
It's not reality.
Oh, no. Yeah, she was like, don't go. Don't do it. But no. But yeah, no, I didn't see it. But it is cute to see one guy, he was like, oh, she's a rich lady. You know, it's just funny to see, like, some of the little comments or whatever. It's cute. But no, for real, though, I try to bring the energy, you know, pump us up. I dance. I do a lot of stuff. You guys
are dancing after the first overtime. Mark Jones was like, yeah, we dancing in the streets.
No, we have to get it in. You have to, like, you know, even when it's not the music that's your music, you know, sometimes they'd be playing some stuff. You'd be like, whatever, let's just rock out then. We got to rock out. Let's just rock out, you know. But no, it's all good. It's all love.
So how you feeling, man? You feeling like they got everything back on track? Are you still a little apprehensive? Like, you don't want to get hurt again? Or are you like, nah, we good now. We got it. We good. How you feeling about the team?
I'm hopeful. That's my answer. My answer is I'm hopeful. I like the way, I like what I've been seeing, and I want it to keep going. And I think we've definitely picked up some things that we needed to pick up in this time frame, like, you know, how to push through these hard times, how to be down 20 and come back in the fourth quarter. Even when we were down 17 the other day, you know, with 10 minutes to go, I even said next to my friend that was sitting with me, Deidre, I was like, I'm not even worried about it. Like, they can do this, you know. And it's the same thing I said Doug was saying, you know, I heard him, right? One possession at a time. You know, get this stop. Now we got to score, right? Get this stop, right? So it's like you just chip away at it. So now that I've seen that we could do that several times in the past five games, now I'm like, well, anything is possible. If we could do that, then, you know, that's it. Now, first of all, we probably shouldn't get down anymore.
That'd be a great idea.
That would be helpful.
That's a great idea. Doug next time you're standing next to him, hey, let's not go down by 20 today.
Let's stop that. Let's cut that out.
You know, the coaches don't have control over – anyway.
Who's your favorite player?
Oh.
I got an idea, I guess.
Everybody knows. Okay, go ahead. You tell me who you think my favorite is.
I think it's Malik.
For sure.
Everybody loves Malik.
That's my dog right there.
Yeah. Do you talk to Malik, like, during the game at all? Like, coming out of a timeout or something? Like, hey, Malik, keep doing your thing or something like that? Because he'll respond. I know he'll be the type to respond.
You know, for the most part, I talk to every player during the game. You know, I'd be like, let's go, Domas, let's go, Keegan, let's, you know, it's all right, shake it off. I talk to all of them.
Yeah.
For the most part, they all acknowledge me, too. But not during the game. During the game, they're, like, in their zone.
Right.
Keon, a couple of times lately, he has been talking to me during the games. You know, something happened, and he'll talk back to me a little bit, you know. That's my boy, too, you know.
I'm trying, Lanier.
I know, right? No, because something happened where and you know, his eye, he'll be like, no, I'm all right. You know, I'll be like, are you, you know, I hope you're, you know, whatever. He'll be like, I'm cool. Like, I'm okay. Like, letting me know, like, I'm okay.
That's
like, you know, or something happened where it was, who were we playing? Not the Clippers. Hold on. Who Memphis? Did we play? Paul George, sorry.
Oh, the
76ers.
Yeah. When we were playing the 76ers, my bad. I'm sorry, basketball guys. When we were playing the 76ers and Paul George, he got a foul on Paul George. And, you know, he turned and I said, you know, I said whatever I said. We all disagreed with the foul call. And then he turned to me because he heard me and he was like, if it wasn't Paul George, it wouldn't have been a foul. And I was like, you right. Like, for sure. Like, it wouldn't have been, you know. But anyway, Malik is my favorite, though. It has everything to do with his spirit, his, you know, he kind of like me, or I mean, is he though? But he is, you know, he's like what I would want to be. He like, if I was a basketball player, like that's how I would want to be, like crazy, like, like, you know, doing crazy dunks from like heck of far away. Like just like the way he be shaking them and stuff and jugging them and getting in the lanes and like going down. I'd be like, ooh, ooh, you know, like cold, like cold.
He's unapologetically cold. Malik.
Yes.
Like that's like, he is like, this is me. This is who I'm always going to be, on the court, off the court. Like he has a personality that he does not alter.
Mm-hmm. And he's the homie too. Like he seemed like he's the homie. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like he's like good, like you'd want to hang out with him type of homie.
Mm.
Yeah. And his family's cool. You know, everybody cool.
You know who I think you would like too if he played more is Jay Crowder.
I love Jay. I talk to him all the time.
So we need. Yeah, he ain't got nothing else to do, so he just talked to him.
I get to talk to him though. Hold on, I talk to him though because we be on the same page. I'm trying to think what happened. I think it was the same game, actually, that 76ers game. And you know how like when at the start of the game, like our players that aren't on the bench line up in front of and they're like clapping the players or whatever,
right?
But that are coming into the game. Yep. Well, the 76ers have the nerve, the audacity to intrude on our side of the court. So they were like way over on our side, like clapping up. I was like, if y'all don't get, you know, that's what I'm saying, right? So as soon as I saw Jay, I was like, Jay, I was like he was like, oh hell no, like, you know what I mean? Like, and he was like, He was like, y'all got to go, you know. And he was like, moving out the way. And I was
like, hey, like, she's get like out of here. Tattling.
Yeah,
Jay.
I was like, get out of here. Like, what are y'all doing? Like,
And Jay was like, you're right. Yeah,
he was.
Yeah,
he did.
What y'all want to do? Start a fight.
And they kept trying to mess with him, like, nah, da da da. And he was like, nah, man, like, move. Like, get out of here. Like, he was like,
Malice at the Golden One Center.
Plus, I got to tell y'all, Jay had on his super cold black diamond necklace. Whew, so I had to tell him about that, too. Because I won.
Nia went and got one the next day.
That's it. Yeah. I'm going to get two.
I'm like, let me just borrow it. I don't have to have it. Let me rock it for like, you know, a game or two or something, you know.
Black diamond necklace.
Anyway, but no, Jay is cool people. I like anybody that's like real down to earth. Like,
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Like, you know, take care of, place look like they could play some street ball.
Mm-hmm.
Jay definitely fall in that category. Malik mm-hmm. fall in that category mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming to hang out with us.
Absolutely.
Again. We love having you in here. You
appreciate
are
y'all.
Everyone's favorite fan.
Yeah. It's good times, man.
It's all good.
And once again, I don't want to send a bunch of people your way, but you see her at the Golden One Center. Tell her what's up. She's mm-hmm. going to say what's up. You and your husband, man, every time after the game, man, I always enjoy our talks, and we just kind of talk about what we saw, man. So it's always it's good times every time I see you guys, man.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to keep supporting my Kings.
Yep.
Keep looking out for them. Keep trying not to get in the way of the coaches. But they love me, though. They'd be like, please keep up your energy. Like, it's all good. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and travel with us. Come, like, are you going? Like, they asked me. Luke was like, are you coming to Boston? Like, we need you in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh.
Well, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
But maybe Chicago.
See, I was about to say. You probably see her in Chicago, though. I was just
maybe
about to
Milwaukee,
say that.
Maybe Milwaukee. One or the other. I'm trying to decide. But them Boston fans are crazy, though.
Yeah.
I know y'all got to go. Yeah, those are the craziest fans to me in our arena, are the Boston fans. The Celtics, they're crazy. But anyway.
I know.
It's Courtside Superstar. Linnea, we appreciate you so much. Love you back. We'll
it's
come
all
back.
Good.
Matt George joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. People on this show, just get used to lines.
Shout out to our girl, Linnea, man. That's always good catching up with her, talking to her a little bit. Before she came in, though, and before Matt comes in as well, Matt George, Locked On Kings, ABC 10,
mm-hmm.
about to pull up on us. This would be something that, I don't know, I thought would be interesting. Tom Palisario, I think it's Palisario, not Palisario. Mm-hmm. He said Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn declined an interview request from the Patriots.
Oh man. I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Declined the interview request. Says Glenn will interview with other 5 head coaching vacancies over the next few days, but not with the Patriots.
It seems like the Patriots interview process might be a bit of a sham, and it's all just wait until we get to Mike Vrabel. Because I saw some stuff yesterday. They were catching some heat over the Rooney Rule and all that, and how they're going about interviewing other candidates. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like, we all know what you're doing at this point, who you're going to hire, or who you want to hire, I guess.
Well, that was, like you said, that's kind of something that I heard, that like the reason why they were so quick to move on from Gerard Mayo is the Vrabel thing. A lot of people believe it's a done deal.
Oh.
So.
Interesting. Because he's interviewing with everybody, right?
Vrabel is.
Isn't he? Yeah, I feel like he's talked.
He's had other jobs, other interviews.
Yeah, so he's the one. There was
Ben Johnson.
Yeah, there was a report. I kind of skimmed it. I didn't try to like learn too much because I just don't think it's going anywhere. But there are people who have inquired about Belichick.
That would be crazy.
I don't know that, you know, obviously don't know the validity. It doesn't feel like there's any traction to that.
He's done it before.
Report.
Is it weird that there's
he has done it before.
Is it weird that there's language in his contract, like already, like, hey, June 1st of this year, there's a buyout for $10 million or whatever. Like, it's already in place.
That's completely normal. Okay. Yeah, that's completely normal.
Like, I see a buyout from 3 years from now or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Completely normal, especially with a coach who has a history in the league, the professional league.
Did we ever find out if he had that clause in there of his son being a successor? Or was that just a rumor?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was official. I know his son on the staff is a thing. Mm. Like his son joined his staff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a succession plan that's been agreed to, because that would be wild.
What did he do with the Jets? Didn't he have a paper that he left on the podium?
Yeah, yeah.
They should leave that on the Chapel Hill podium.
They should do Winning Time for that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you can do like a Patriots dynasty after that or whatever, but you start off with that press conference or something.
That would be fire. Yeah. Winning Time with the Patriots. That'd be the most interesting Patriots thing I've ever watched. Same people doing Winning Time.
And it was the Browns or the Jets? It was the Jets because he coached the Browns. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Can you imagine if Tom Brady ends up being his boss, though?
Oh, man.
Oh, chef's kiss.
Man.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, I love that. I love that.
Real quick.
De'Aaron Fox listed as questionable for tomorrow night, by the way.
Okay,
injury report just dropped.
Hopefully he plays out there.
Mm-hmm.
Before Matt comes in, another football question. Mm-hmm. Jesse, you thought when we brought up Deebo Samuels and John Lynch's answer to Deebo coming back, you thought that was just all posturing, huh? You don't think they're really bringing him back?
I don't think it's impossible that he's back next season, but the whole, we don't let good players out the building, this, and that. Like, yeah.
A little extra.
Because there's value for Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I think.
You let Javon Hargrave go or whatever, because, you're not going to get anything in a trade for that.
Mm.
But Deebo Samuel, Jesse Toppy over here wants to trade you Tyreek Hill.
I'd do that deal, by the way. Like, we could figure out which pick.
Third and a sixth. I'm not budging off of that. It's a third and a sixth.
Oh.
You're getting a top five receiver.
Is he going to be a top five?
Yeah, this year his wrist. This year he broke his wrist. His agent was saying he broke his wrist against Washington in preseason practice, and he needed surgery, and that would have took him out for the year, but he chose not to get it. And then you had the cop or whatever messing with his wrist with the handcuffs and that stuff.
Tyreek, 30 years old.
He still can play.
So here's the thing.
What about a 4 and a 6?
Yeah,
I can't do it because I could probably get a third somewhere else or a second even somewhere else.
Yeah, but you're getting Deebo.
Yeah, but you don't like Deebo. He's coming off a career worst year. If anything, I'm doing you a favor.
Just needs to change the scenery. He'll go back to being Deebo once he gets with you guys.
I'm counting on him, but I'm not telling you that.
You know, I thought about once Tyreek was in that locker room after the game, I thought about, like, man, I wonder what, if Kyle and them would make a move for him. And
the report is he didn't request the trade, right? That was
the report is that he was mad after the game or whatever. They had a meeting a couple days or a day after, and like he didn't request a trade. Meeting went great, blah blah blah. But I could care less. Trade him.
The thing about Tyreek or Deebo or whatever is, I think even with Deebo kind of like not being the same guy anymore, I don't know if the Niners can move on from him without trading for another wide receiver, because I think they need a receiver. I think you, because I'm also looking at Brandon Ayuk, and unfortunately, I don't like saying this.
You don't think he'll be back to Brandon Ayuk?
No, I don't. And so you're gonna need a capable guy. I don't know when Brandon Ayuk.
He tore his ACL, or he like
he ripped his
shredded
knee up.
Everything.
Yeah, okay. He ripped his knee up. It wasn't like the guy with the Texans, but it was ACL. Mm-hmm. I think it was a meniscus, maybe or something. Like it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And I even say that to say, you know, when is he going to be ready to play? Like, is he going to be ready week one? I don't know. Maybe. Is he going to be ready to go full throttle at the start of the season? Like, I can't rely on Brandon Ayuk's return right now. So that's why I might not be ready to move on from Deebo Samuel.
See, and I'm trying to give you 2 years of Tyreek Hill, though. Yeah, he's got a void year in 2027, so it'd be 25 and 26. You'd have Tyreek.
Tyreek has the void year.
A 4 and a 6.
Third.
Oh, let me talk to
Paul. I know the Niners get third round picks from those compensatory picks all the time, so you can afford it. Can afford it.
We got some to use. Shout out to Steve. No, we didn't get one for Wilkes because he didn't get hired. It was D'Amico, I think, still.
Oh, didn't get hired by another team.
Yeah.
So in the chat, maybe you get Vivek Ochocinco out there.
Well, get Vivek out there.
That's it.
I guess you can't get Matt. Maybe Matt just said the hell with us. Maybe Matt's looking at his Instagram page. I don't know. That's all right.
You guys think you think Tyreek, you can get a first round pick for him?
No.
Around the league? No?
No.
There's a, because so I'm worried about trading for Tyreek because, I mean, he might fall off a cliff starting next year. I don't think he will.
I don't see it. Like this year he had a down year, but I honestly think it was his wrist injury. That wasn't something that just came out either. It's been all year, Tyreek's wrist.
It happens quick in the NFL.
He can still play there.
It does.
It happens quick.
It does.
So I'd be worried about that. I'd still want to trade for him if the deal was right. But I couldn't lie. I'd be worried about that. Like, man, am I getting a lemon?
Yeah, I understand. But would a lemon Tyreek Hill be better than Deebo?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, that's what we're talking about. The question is, would a lemon Tyreek Hill be better than Deebo and Brandon Ayuk if your fear is founded?
So you go Tyreek Hill, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, and at some point Brandon Ayuk. You probably still got to draft a wide receiver too, unless however you're feeling about cowing. But
look at that! I just fixed your wide receiver room, John.
And where would Deebo? Waddle would be the number one.
Yeah, we're kind of doing a little soft restart over here with Miami. We'll roll with Deebo. See what Mike McDaniel can do with him. Jalen Waddle and Malik Washington. They drafted last year. This year, I guess.
What's your number one need then in the draft? Like, if you're like, let's hypothetically, you give up. We'll say a 3 and a 6 for the Tapia deal. Mm-hmm. Like, what position is your first round pick?
A lot of people believe offensive line. I just have it probably is offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got to figure out what they're doing at the right tackle spot and at center. And they may look at, you know, we can't mess around anymore with trying to get these guys in the middle rounds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We'll get you a top flight center or something like that. So that's probably your first priority. But I wouldn't be surprised if John Lynch went defensive line. I wouldn't be surprised. And then for me, it's not something you do in the first round. But I think you got to take a serious look at them linebackers, because by all accounts, it feels like Dre Greenlaw is going to be gone. He's going to go away in free agency. And I can't leave my boy Fred Warner out there with them Devondre Campbell types. Mm-hmm. Like, he need a person that could go.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I'm looking at linebacker.
It's tough.
So I think those three, I still kind of want a wide receiver too. But I think those three.
But that's probably the lowest priority, no?
Probably.
And at what point do you
think? And you could probably do some free agent stuff at wide receiver too.
Sure.
So it probably would go offensive line, specifically center or right guard, defensive line, linebacker.
What point do you start worrying a little bit about the backfield?
Never.
Never? Oh, no, I guess because your boy's there.
Bobby Patrick Taylor just ran for like 100 yards, though.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. I understand. But I that would be the lowest of priorities for me. I'll find a guy again in the fifth round that fits the scheme, has speed, can do whatever. And the ironic thing is every time they try to draft early at the running back position.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a good point. That is a solid, solid point.
Those days might be done. They might be like, we ain't doing this no more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, McCaffrey long in the tooth, too.
Yeah.
But you got –
but that's your team. That's that we've known that.
You got McCaffrey. You got Jordan Mason. And Garendo said he there was no structural damage on his injury. So mm-hmm. you come back with those three and then, you know, maybe get a free agent, a undrafted guy mm-hmm. that you might like. I think you'd be all right in the backfield.
Orange Bowl tonight coming up on ESPN 1320. Actually, Orange Bowl coming up in about 30 minutes here on ESPN 1320. Matt George said, to hell with D'Lo and KC. I'm not talking to them. Kings are playing too well. I don't want to talk to them. So I guess Matt will maybe be with us next week.
Real quick, Orange Bowl and all this other stuff. What's the biggest football game you ever been to?
Oh,
you been to like a national or Super Bowl or a national championship?
No. I've been to Tennessee, Alabama.
Some college games.
That's it.
Like Tennessee, Alabama was pretty big.
No, it was. Tennessee stunk, but yeah, it was. That didn't stop 104,000 people from walking into Neyland Stadium.
I say that because I think about it. I'd love to go to one of these bowl games. I'd love to go to one of these bowl games.
This is like football is the one sport, and this includes baseball. Football is the one sport where I'll, especially like we're talking this national title game, mm-hmm. I'll go, and if you put me like in the Odyssey corporate suite, I'd be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I don't want to sit in a suite at a Kings game right. unless it's one of them like open and you could like you're kind of down in the crowd like a little bit but you're in the suite like that's fine. Yeah. I only get that treatment when I'm with you, but still like I could do it. But I like sitting in the stands for games. Yeah. I love sitting in the stands for baseball games.
Yeah.
Football, I just don't really like watching football live. Mm. So if I have the ability to like watch the field, look at the screen, the problem with some football games is I actually watched some of that Tennessee Alabama game in a suite and it's quiet.
Mm.
And I didn't. I was like, this is whack. But I don't like this.
I've never been in a suite for a football game, but going to the Niners games and being in the press box, it's like super closed in, super.
Yeah.
Like you're super indoors. You know, some of the old press box, maybe somebody has a window open and you can. Nah, not at Levi's. Like it's. Like soundproof glass, so you see all the craziness going on, but you don't get a feel for how wild it is out there. So I'm with you. I kind of if I'm at a football game and I can do other things,
yeah,
that's cool too.
By God, look who's here!
Oh,
why are you guys late?
Well, sorry about that, Matt.
I've been waiting for both of you.
Well, we apologize. Linnea was here. She was excited you were coming on the show. And, oh, well, here you are.
You know those days where you don't realize what day it is? It's one of those days.
Yeah, it's been like that for 3 weeks, Matt. Like, Jesse and I are constantly looking at each other like, what day is today? Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. What's up, man?
Hey, what are you guys talking about?
Well, we were talking about football in an attempt to kill time to figure out if you were going to join us or not. And truthfully, I didn't know how to get back to a Kings conversation that didn't involve you, so I'm very happy that you're here.
I apologize for being late.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We did this with Linnea. Let's do it with you. Take us back to Monday, Miami. Kings had won four in a row at that point. Things are feeling good. They're down 17 in the fourth quarter. I'm sure you're thinking about TV. You're thinking about Locked On. And then all of a sudden, 24-7 later, we got a whole new thing jumping off. What was your biggest takeaway? Let's start with your biggest takeaway from Monday, and then we'll look at a bigger, you know, the bigger picture.
Yeah, I was ready to talk a lot about in the first segment on how I felt that Doug Christie got outclassed tactically, which wasn't meant to be an insult because he's going against Eric Spoelstra, who's a surefire Hall of Famer. Like, Eric Spoelstra is a tactical genius. He got his start being like in the film room and working his way up. So he's a tactical genius. When the Heat went to that zone in the third quarter, especially without De'Aaron Fox, the Sacramento Kings had no answer for it. Then the Kings made that push where they did, to Doug's credit, tactically figure some things out and find out ways to break down that zone. But I thought the Sacramento Kings won that game purely because of heart. Mm-hmm. I thought the Sacramento Kings won that game because of what Doug Christie has instilled in them and what he has brought back to the table since taking over for this team. Mm-hmm. So my takeaway from that game was, one, fantastic comeback, and two, in a way, it's a microcosm of the entire season to this point. And even the way this win streak is going on is accurate to this season. Think about it, guys. How many times over the course of these 40 or so games have the Kings gone down by 15, 20 points, battled all the way back, and then more often than not early on in the season ended up still losing, right? Yeah. How many times did that happen? It felt like that was happening almost a nightly occurrence. Yeah. You had that same exact thing happen, except the Kings won against Miami. You had the same exact thing happen in the fourth quarter, that 15-0 run to finish the game against the Los Angeles Clippers. So we've seen this time and time and time again. Now apply that to the season. The Kings fall six games under 500. They go on a five-game win streak. They're now back to one game under 500. And thanks to other teams and the Kings being off the last 2 days, they are now tied with the San Antonio Spurs in the 10th seed.
Yeah.
Right? So this has been how the season has gone. The Kings fall in a hole. They battle all the way back. Now the question is, can they continue to build on it? That is where my either skepticism comes into play or just my concerns come into play. Is one, this roster has not consistently shown an ability to, once they get back to ground zero, be able to build upon it, number one. And number two is, I do feel at some point the newness or the energy or the vibe of Doug Christie's takeover is going to start to wear off. It's not going to be the same. Right. And when we get 20 games from now, when the Kings are in the grind right around or slightly after the trade deadline, and hopefully the Kings are still in this race, they're really truly in the dog days of the season. Has the novelty of Doug taking over worn off? And who is that team then? Has Doug figured out how to get enough out of them then, or are there moves or whatever to keep them above water, not just treading water at this point? So these were all things that I was thinking about while the Kings were making a phenomenal, heart-driven, epic comeback that, if we're being honest, not that this is held against the Kings, the Heat also did them a lot of favors in that game. Jaime Hawkins Jr. missing a pair of free throws. Bam Adebayo, who's many consider to be one of the best defensive centers in the league, fouling Keon Ellis. All right, the Heat did the Kings some favors, but the Kings still, unbelievable effort to battle back and to win that game, given all the circumstances.
Mm. You were there on Monday. I mean, talk about the crowd and that building and how it was. I mean, that was, I said I didn't want to be, you know, disrespectful to any of the playoff games, but it reminded me a little bit of those playoff games. It reminded me of game two against the Warriors and how wild that was when they were able to pull that out. That was a special, special night at the Golden One Center on Monday.
Sacramento, nobody responds to heart and hustle better than Sacramento. That is what Kings fans want. That is what Kings fans desire and demand, is just play your heart out. If you do, they will respond to you, which is why I think Sacramento loves Keon Ellis so much. Mm-hmm. The way Keon Ellis played against Miami, right? He stripped Jaime Hawkins Jr., has the court awareness to know where he is, grabs the ball and chucks it as hard as he can off of Jaime's leg to be out of bounds, turnover, Kings get the basketball back, right? For Keon Ellis to have the great game that he did, and I thought he was fantastic. I know Domas won the DPOG crown, And I made the joke on the pod. I think we've gotten to a point where, like LeBron with MVPs, Keon could just qualify for the crown every single night, so they're just going to give it to other people. Not that Domas didn't deserve it, because he had three blocks in that game, but Keon was phenomenal. But the way the crowd responds to Keon, I felt the crowd was responding to the Sacramento Kings in general. Just the fight, the hustle, the effort. One thing with all the inconsistencies of this team over this season, one thing I think Sacramento Kings fans can count on with this team over anything else is that this team will never quit. Mm-hmm. And that's something, well, I should say, I shouldn't say never, because they blatantly quit against the Indiana Pacers.
That was a different team.
But that was a different team. But they have consistently this season not given up and battled back, the cardiac Kings, as many like to call them. Now we're just seeing them able to finally close it out, mm-hmm. right? A couple games in a row where they were close and the Kings got over the hump and closed it out. And that's where Doug Christie deserves credit, because he's seemingly given this team that extra bolt, that extra jolt, whatever it is, to help them actually close these things out. That's what they're doing now under Doug. And so we have to recognize that and appreciate that for what it is.
You brought up Keon there a minute ago, man. He has been an MVP in my eyes, particularly the last three games, stepping in to start for Keegan and start a couple of games for De'Aaron. It sounds like De'Aaron will be back Friday. He's listed as questionable in the latest injury report. And that's left a lot of Kings fans wondering, okay, you know, Doug, now you gotta work some magic here, because Keegan's back, De'Aaron's back. Man, we really like seeing Keon on the floor. And Domas said, you know, we don't win these games without him. And that might be one of Doug's biggest challenges coming up here, Matt.
I don't see a route that makes sense for playing time unless Devin Carter is not playing or Kevin Herter's minutes are decimated. I don't know where you get those minutes from. Unless, I mean, you're willing to play that small. Because I know Devin Carter's a rookie, so maybe him just being a rookie is going to end up being, okay, you're the guy. I think if it was Mike Brown, I'd for sure go, okay, it's Devin Carter's minutes, because we know kind of how Mike operates. Doug, though, I mean, I think Devin Carter is a Doug Christie guy. I think Devin Carter, mm-hmm. immediately, you can see the impact that he makes on the defensive end. That wingspan is no joke, y'all. The wingspan that he has defensively, how he uses that wingspan, how he uses it to crash the glass and grab rebounds, like, you can see it right away. And this is what I was talking about, I think, last week when I was on the show with you guys and you asked what my takeaways were from when he played in that Stockton Kings game when he had that big 29-point performance. And I said, that version of Devin Carter, I don't think was the version that we're going to get, because the version of Devin Carter that we've seen over the last couple of games in the NBA was not the same thing that we saw in that Stockton game, because we're seeing more of the hustle, defense, rebounding, aggressive kind of Tasmanian devil, let him loose and tell him to be impactful. And Devin has done that with flying colors. But I wonder if Devin is the guy that kind of gets his minutes cut just because he's a rookie. I think, like, if I'm Kevin Herter, I'm very concerned about my playing time at this point in time. Not that Kevin's played last game, he wasn't great. The game before that, he had 16 points. I thought he played really, really well. Now, that was the Warrior game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But like, Keon has to play. I don't think Keon has to start. You're not moving Malik Monk or De'Aaron Fox, obviously, out of the starting lineup. So Keon doesn't have to start, but he has to play damn near 30 minutes a night. He just has to. He's too impactful until that impactfulness starts to slow down. What I think is the benefit with a guy like Keon is that you can plug and play him. There's no question of, oh, what lineup does Keon Ellis fit with? Well, you just put Keon Ellis in the game, he'll make something happen. So I think that makes Keon more valuable and easier to deal with, more valuable for a guy like Doug Christie than maybe a Kevin Herter, where fit with the lineup is really important for what Kevin Herter does.
Yeah, I thought about, you know, where the minutes and the rotations might work. And unfortunately, Kevin, minutes will probably take a little bit of a back seat. But you throw Keon in there on the first sub for, say, De'Aaron Fox. All right, when De'Aaron Fox ready to come in, he goes in for Malik Monk. All right, cool, Keon's still out there. When Malik Monk's ready to come back into the game, he'll go in for DeRozan. All right, Keon will move into whoever DeMar was guarding. And it just works out that way, and you do that. In each half, and now you're up to Keon playing about 25 minutes or so. But
and to your point, Kenny, if I can jump in real quick too, we've already seen that with Devin. Like, Devin's been the guard playing the most minutes off the bench for Doug, and that happened really quickly. Devin's first game, Kevin Herter started, or was the first player off the bench for the Kings in the first half of Devin's first game. In the second half, Devin was the first one off the bench. Mm. You look at the Warriors game, and if I'm not mistaken, the Miami game, with the exception of, I think, Trey Lyles, Devin played the most minutes off the bench. So we're already seeing that from Doug is, hey, a defensive guard, that's a plug-and-play spot for Keon right away.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got the Boston Celtics coming up tomorrow. Just texting with Chris Biederman. He's live in Boston. He'll join us tomorrow in the first hour of the show.
Sweet.
Matt, I had a theory that Doug's first game after their next loss might be one of his most valuable games of the year, because you're winning, you're riding high, and it's easy for Doug, who has been saying, I completely understand this because we talked a little bit about it before Doug said it. He's talking about, you know, the lessons are in the experiences, not necessarily the victories. And that is that man, what a prophet Doug is when you're winning. When you get that first loss, though, it's like, okay, you got knocked off your pedestal a little bit. How do you regroup after that? And I've had this feeling that the first game after the next loss might be one of the most important games of the season, which is filling up with the most important games of the season.
I think you're onto that.
I'm up to like 10.
I think what the Kings have done and what Doug has been given because of that Miami win is almost like a get out of jail free card. You can lose this Boston game now. I think, D'Lo, I think you said it either. It was either earlier this week or maybe it was last week. It had to have been last week. You said, what do you say? 4-3 looks a lot different in Doug's first seven games than 5-2, right? 4-3 looks a lot and feels a lot different. So you lose that Miami game. You're likely losing this Boston game. You're 4-3 now. And now, like, it feels like the novelty is worn off. You're 5-2. You lose that Boston game, but you round out that three-game road trip with a couple more wins. They should, in theory, quote-unquote, should beat Chicago. Optically, I think that looks a lot different, too. But I agree with you 100%. I'm expecting, call me a pessimist, I'm expecting the Kings to lose Friday. I'm expecting it. If they win, I mean, bring out all the parades and all the confetti and everything like that. Because if they beat the defending champs, then, man, Doug really has something going on.
Well, it means we're the champions.
Well,
right, that's true. That's what it means. But I think that Chicago game and how the Kings, depending upon, like, if the Kings battle hard in Boston and just lose because Boston hits 1,000 threes like they always do, or they outclass you because they're Boston, you can live with that. But how you respond the next game, if you play the exact same way, let's say the Kings play the exact same way over the next two games and it's good. The Kings probably still lose to Boston or might lose to Boston. The Kings should probably beat Chicago. So if you're consistent in those two games, but you lose the Boston one, I feel fine about that if I'm the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. I think going in these three games, I'll extend it a little bit. Man, if they can find a way to get two of those. They can find a way to get two of those. That would put them at 500, right?
Yep. One under, yep.
Yeah, but it just it feels like it would put them seven over. You know what I mean? If they can go 2-3 coming back to Golden 1 Center next Thursday. It's going to be tough, though.
We should get to make the playoffs based off Doug's record and Doug's record alone.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
What are we, 5-1?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, we're better than Oklahoma City right now.
There we go.
We're number better than Cleveland.
Seed. Number one seed, five Sacramento and one. Kings.
Count it.
But, yeah, man, I look at these three games, it's pretty tough. Chicago, like, I understand what you're saying. Like, in theory, you should beat them. They got a lot of talented players. Zach Levine's playing great. Kobe Jones is – it's Kobe Jones.
Kobe White.
Kobe White is playing great.
Kobe Jones is not.
Kobe White is playing great, man. That's a dangerous squad right there, man. So, yeah, if you can find a way to get two of those three, man, that would be such a good feeling.
I do like that – kind of what you're alluding to, KC, too. Like, I do like one of the consistent things that the Kings have been doing over the six games that Doug has been the coach is they're playing desperate. or they're playing like, even though they've won five straight, they know they're still under 500 and have to claw their way back. Doug Christie coaches like it's game seven. Like, Doug Christie just coaches hard. You can tell how locked in he is. Doesn't even make mistakes or anything like that. But Doug has not changed from the second he got on Luke Walton's bench for the first time. He's the first guy out there after a timeout, meeting players damn near at half court, giving them high fives and welcoming them in. Like, that's just who Doug is. So Doug coaches really, really hard. And the way this team has been playing is with the desperation of a team that knows that they've got a lot of work to do to get to where they want to be, and they don't really have the time to kind of mess around anymore. And so when I look at that Chicago game, you're 100% right. That is a team that on paper, the Kings should be beating, but the Kings should approach that game the same way KC said, man, Zach LaVine's playing well. They got a lot of ball players on this roster. We got to play hard if we want to win this game, especially on the road. Like, if the Kings have that mindset going into every game, and hopefully Doug can get that, because that's been an issue not just with Mike Brown. That was an issue with Walton. That was an issue with Jaeger. That's been an issue for a long time, is the Kings looking at opponents and kind of thinking, okay, we should win this game. Let's play like it. And it ends up kind of biting them in the butt, or the win is not as comfortable or sound as it should be. So if the Kings are locked in and dialed into, hey, we go 2-1 on this road trip, we're at 500, which might be the eighth or ninth spot with how the West is going.
Yeah.
Play hard. Let's go get that done. Yeah.
You a believer? You bought in on what's happening right now?
I'm a skeptic.
You used to be an eternal optimist.
I know.
Now I think you're...
The jersey's still up in there.
Yeah. Now I think you're a little extra pessimistic.
And I'm pessimistic for, I think, the right reasons, though. Like, I'm not pessimistic about Doug. I'm not.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm pessimistic about this roster, and I'm pessimistic about the front office's inability to construct a good roster. That's what I'm pessimistic about. I did a podcast earlier today. I'm getting eviscerated in the comment section of the podcast because it's during a 5-game win streak, but I'm bringing up very valid concerns of, what does this team look like when this stuff starts to wear off? Because it's going to wear off. It's going to slow down. So how does the team battle through? Do they revert and fall back to what they've shown us they are all season long? Or is Doug really a phenomenal coach and phenomenal motivator to where he is able to get the absolute best out of this roster? I hope that's the case. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Everybody wants that. But I think having skepticism or doubts or concerns about who the roster has shown you to be and still the makeup of this roster based on, I don't even care that the Kings have played shorthanded this, the Kings have played shorthanded that. I don't care. Beat what's in front of you. If the Dallas Mavericks come to town and decide they don't want to play four starters, that's their fault. Beat them. If Joel Embiid can't play, or if whoever the hell's out, Jimmy Butler's being dumb and getting suspended by his team, okay, beat who's in front of you. I don't care who has and hasn't played. The Kings have won good games, and that's all that matters. But they have really tough competition coming up, and that paired with the novelty of the newness of Doug and the energy for Doug, I do think will wear off. And I'm choosing to think more about what this team as constructed has shown me to be more than... let's put it this way. If the organization is banking on Doug's motivation and vibes to carry the Kings through the rest of this season, I don't think they're setting themselves up to be successful. I think that's a lot to put on an interim head coach.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong.
Skeptic Matt George here all of a sudden.
That's me. I'm a heel. Heel turn.
Where's the optimist? We used to... Well, let's go ahead and do it. I've been turning babyface all week, and here comes Matt George with the chair shot.
You can boo me like Hulk Hogan. Let me tell you about
it. Oh, no, we'll never boo you like that. Absolutely
never,
not.
Ever. Yeah.
Absolutely that Raw was great, by the way, though.
You thought so? I thought it was a good one-off show. We were just, Casey and I were just looking at the numbers that just a shade under 5 million people watched. Yeah. On Netflix, which is obviously a really good number in this era of professional wrestling television. The only thing I'm concerned about, and maybe the concern is unfounded and they have enough evidence to show that it is they didn't give me a single reason to tune in on Monday. They gave me no reason to come back. Like, if that was a one-off, it was, you probably go as far as say it was flawless. But if it's a, it's not. It's a, as they will tell you regularly, it's a weekly episodic show.
Yeah. It and felt so, like a pay-per-view.
Yeah, sure. It's like, okay, well, what now? Rock is whatever. Roman's the final, the tribal chief, or in Punk and Seth blew off their feud that's been brewing since the moment Punk stepped back into the company. So what are we doing? Yeah. We're like, we have a, we wiped the slate clean headed to WrestleMania season.
Seth has to turn like evil heel now, right? Like if they want to keep that continue, Seth has to come back and just go full on, like beat the crap out of CM Punk and F everybody for loving him so much. That's the only, because that match has to be WrestleMania.
Maybe.
Trust Triple H. He knows what he's doing.
I guess so.
Trust trips.
I'll make a Jeremy Lamb joke. I just couldn't get it quick enough. Great stuff, Matt. We appreciate you as always. We are locked in to the Locked On Kings podcast. We're locked into ABC 10 as well. Be careful what you're looking at on your
I am not by association with that, okay?
I'd be clear. We love Jake. That is our man. We ride with him 100%. Matt, we appreciate you, man. Hopefully we're talking some more wins when you join us here next week. We are headed to the Orange Bowl, baby.
Let's go Notre Dame.
Notre Dame and Penn State. It's coming up next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos fighting Irish.